Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Science of Yes with your hostess, Pam Heath, the Yes Coach. Each week, Pam will speak about the energy of yes and how you can use it to create an extraordinary, prosperous life that you will absolutely love. Pam has spent a lifetime building and leading transformational programs and is passionate about making abundance available for everyone who yes. Callers are welcome, and we invite you to like Pam's show before leaving the program. So open your heart, open your mind, and be ready to receive what is possible from your friend, the Yes Coach.
Good evening and welcome to the show. This is Pam Heath. I'm the Yes Coach, and I'd like to welcome you to my world. I live in the world of yes, and this show every week is an opportunity to give you access to that world. It's extraordinary hanging out over here, and I'm inviting you to come and play with me in the world of yes. I'm a single mother, and I live in Southern California. I have a son who is 29 years old, and he's an aspiring music producer. And what I do for a living is, well, I'm a yes coach. And what I do for fun, well, I love singing karaoke. I love watching movies and reading science fiction and fantasy novels. And I love playing video games. That's right, you heard me. I'm a gamer. For real, serious, I'm not kidding. I play World of Warcraft, Guild Wars, Diablo 3, and I also play Lord of the Rings online. I belong to alliances and guilds, and I have friends in England, Australia, Canada. I love children, and I believe in the power of the mind in every sense of the word. I empower the law of attraction. And I call myself a yes coach, and my process is the science of yes. So, now why do I call my process a science? Well, I like to say I specialize in supporting right-brain people to achieve spiritually what left-brain people achieve intellectually. Now, I have an interesting background. I did go to college, but I didn't pursue a career in what I studied at college. But studying broadcast journalism in college trained me in creativity and communication through writing. And what came over the next 27 years as a legal administrator, operations manager, and a human resource expert. So eventually I realized that I could leverage all of this diverse experience and expertise, and I began my own consulting company developing a technique that I call coaching. Based on the principle that anything is possible if you're willing to say yes. Yes coaching has evolved into the science of yes, and I provide the strategy, coaching, and support for a life fueled by your unending passion. So, I say that by simply being a yes, you expand your capacity to have anything you're willing to say yes to. So when I say yes, I'm not talking about semantics or simply the word yes. And I'm not just talking about positive thinking either. I'm speaking of a mindset and how you live your life and who you be and the actions you take inside of that. And that's right. There's who you are in life, and then there's who you be in life. And what I'm teaching you has everything to do with who you be and what you do as you are being that. So who you be is yes, and what you do is sourced by yes. And what you get is a life of power, passion, and fun. And that's all there is to it. It's not complicated. As a matter of fact, we humans are the ones who complicate things. Yes, we do. So I spend my time every week at 9 p.m. Pacific Standard Time giving you access to a very simple way of going about your life to enhance what you already are up to. Now, I'm really taking liberty here. I'm relying on a few things. First, I'm taking it on faith that you want to take on your life in this manner. You want the yes, I can attitude, and you want to take the steps to live the life of your dreams. More smiles, more joy, more happiness. You're on the hunt for the pathway to a good life, the happy, satisfied, fulfilled life. And I'm assuming, since you're listening to this broadcast, that you want to live your life inside of yes. At least you're hoping to. Well, let's find out. First of all, let's start with how my program opens up. You may have noticed that it opens up with a song. And it sounds kind of catchy and sounds kind of, you know, cool. That song, by the way, just so you know, it's called You Ain't Never Had a Friend Like Me. And it's sung by Robin Williams, the late, great Robin Williams. I'm a big fan. And I'm a big fan of the movie that song is from. It's called Aladdin. And that song is what the genie sings to Aladdin when he first rubs the lamp. He rubs the lamp, and here comes this genie. Pops out of the bottle, and he tells him, hey, you're the guy who rubbed the lamp, so you get 3 wishes. Anything you want. Anything you want. All you have to do is ask, and voila, I'll provide it. Well, Aladdin seemed a little confused, so the genie burst into song. Now, I'm not going to burst into song, so relax. But I do want you to pay attention to some of the words of that song because it's part of my training and development in the science of yes. So here's what you want to know. That song, You Ain't Never Had a Friend Like Me, that song is giving you instructions about how the genie is explaining to Aladdin that his life. Now, I'm not going to sing. I promised you I wouldn't, and I'm not going to. But I'm going to tell you the first part of the song. Because I say that first part of the song is the part that's the most important. So if you've seen the movie, I'm going to say the lyrics. I'm not going to sing them. You'll think of the moment the genie was singing. And you might even hear the song in the background. I open up every show with that song. But here's the words. And I think they're important. You've got some power in your corner now, some heavy ammunition in your camp. You've got some punch, pizzazz, yahoo, and how. See, all you got to do is rub that lamp. And I'll say, Mr. Aladdin, sir, what will your pleasure be? Let me take your order. Jot it down. You ain't never had a friend like me. Life is your restaurant. And I'm your maitre d'. Come on, whisper what it is you want. You ain't never had a friend like me. Yes, sir, we pride ourselves on service. King, the Shah. Say what you wish. It's yours, true dish. How about a little more baklava? Have some from column A. Try all of column B. I'm in the mood to help you, dude. You ain't never had a friend like me. Okay. Pause. Those are the lyrics to the song that comes on in the beginning of my show. You ain't never had a friend like me. Consider for a moment that I am singing this song to you right now. Life is your restaurant, and I'm your maitre d'. What would you order? A new home? A new car? A new romantic partner? What about your career? The whole point of this is, anything you want for your life is available. Anything you want. So when I say to you, life is your restaurant and I'm your maitre d', I'd like you to consider that in life, that the universe is singing that song to you. Maybe not just as Robin Williams sang it in that movie, and maybe not singing, maybe it's just saying it to you, resonating it. In tune with the energy of the universe, here comes the song, You Ain't Never Had a Friend Like Me. You've got friends, you've got relatives, you've got acquaintances, and you've got whatever you've got in your life, but you ain't never had a friend like me. Because right now, anything you ask me for, anything you put an order in for, anything you want for yourself and your life, you can have it. Life is your restaurant, and I'm your maitre d'. And that's the universe telling you, you can have what you want. Sounds pretty cool, right? Sounds pretty exciting, right? Well, it's kind of like resonating like the law of attraction. If you're starting to hear, recognizing for yourself that it's elements of the law of attraction, you're on point there. Because I am a strong believer in and a practitioner of the law of attraction. And when I tell you that the universe is telling you you ain't never had a friend like me, I'd like you to consider that the universe will deliver on whatever it is you ask for. You just need to order it, just like you would at a restaurant. Now, let me try something on you. You don't have to agree, but just listen, okay? When you go into a restaurant, I'm talking a nice restaurant. I'm not talking about Jack in the Box or Burger King, okay? When you go into a restaurant and you sit down, you know, maybe you have a friend or two with you, or maybe you're alone. Doesn't matter. The waiter comes over, okay, and the waiter is ready to take your order. And usually the waiter says something on in the effect of, what would you like? What can I get for you? Would you like to order now? And when the waiter or waitress makes that request of you, you would not look up at that waiter or waitress and say, well, please don't bring me pancakes. I don't like pancakes. I absolutely hate pancakes. Don't bring them. No pancakes for me. Now, you wouldn't do that, would you? I hope not. Or you wouldn't walk into, you know, Saks Fifth Avenue or any clothing store and call the salesperson over and say, hey, don't show me any clothes that are red with black polka dots, because I don't like red with black polka dots. I hate them. I don't particularly like blue with white polka dots either. Actually, I don't like polka dots. I don't want you to show me any clothes with polka dots, so don't do it. I don't like that, so, you know, ixnay on the polka dots, okay? You would do that, would you? I hope not. Okay, so that sounds pretty absurd, right? Going to a restaurant and saying, you know, don't serve me pancakes. Going to a clothing store and telling the salesperson, don't sell me clothes that are red with black polka dots. That's kind of silly, because what would really happen if you went into a restaurant to buy some food to fill your belly, you tell the waiter or waitress what you want. They would come over with their little pen and pad. They would stand over you and they would say, hey, what can I get you? And you would say to them, I'd like to order bacon and eggs. And they'll bring you bacon and eggs because you asked for it. They'll bring you what you asked for. Now, I'm not addressing that you asked for it sunny side up and they bring it over, you know, hard-boiled and flipped over and done incorrectly. If they screw it up, you'll send it back and get it fixed. What I'm saying to you is you get what you order at a restaurant. If you walk into a store and you ask for what you want, they give you what you ask for. And you don't walk into a store and tell them what you don't want. You don't do that, I hope. In life, what it is to be human, ordinary human beings, a lot of times they find themselves talking a lot about what they don't want. Now, you see how absurd it is to say to a waiter, don't bring me pancakes. Don't do it. I don't like that. Don't do that. That's silly. Why would you bother wasting your time saying what you don't want? And yet, you say things like, I hate my life. I hate my job. I hate my car. I don't want to live like this. I don't want so-and-so to talk to me like this. I'd like you to consider that when you say out loud the things you don't want in your life, you're actually bringing energy and attention to what you don't want. And in your speaking, you're creating what you don't want. One of the first things I teach my coaching clients is to be very careful what words come out of your mouth. You see, the universe is listening. The universe is listening to you. And I want to, like, amorphify the universe like it's this person listening to everything you say. But what I want you to take on is that the universe is resonating and that you are resonating, and that when you resonate with the universe on the same frequency, what you open your mouth and ask for the universe survives. And I'm saying that's a law, just like any law of the universe, the law of gravity, the law of attraction. That's a law. You get what you ask for. And that's how you do it. So if you are someone who spends a lot of time talking about what you don't want, talking about how you don't want it to go, worrying about the future and what it holds for you, as if you have no control whatsoever as to what's coming down the pipe. Do you want to know what you're committed to in your life? Do you want to have an idea about what's coming down the pike? Then look at the current actions you're taking. Whatever it is that you are taking action in, that's what's going to be coming in the future. You have everything to say about what's coming in the future. It's true. The future is unknown. It is. The future is unknown. But you can create, by design, a future full of whatever you want. All it takes is work. All it takes is affirmative actions inside of what you're committed to have happening in your life. Yes will move you quickly and gently into the waters where you can manage your life responsibly and have time and energy for family and friends. More importantly, the world of yes will have you discover ways to dust off a dream or two and embrace life in ways that you had never imagined possible. The science of yes is a practice. It's not a religion. It's a practice. It's very easy to understand and very easy to follow. It's not complicated. It's a pathway to a more focused, productive, and exhilarating life. And I'm convinced the science will work for you just as it's worked for me and so many of the people I've had the privilege to coach. I know things can be better, life can be easier, and your dreams can come true. And the thing I get asked about the most when I give lectures or these workshops or seminars about the science of yes is, what about no? Shouldn't I say no to something? I mean, I'm not supposed to say yes to everything, am I? Look, having a positive attitude about everything does help in the long run, and it will make things in life a little bit easier. But this is not about you feeling good about a certain situation or speaking the word yes out loud like some kind of Buddhist mantra. It doesn't have magic just because you say the word. It's not about the word. I'm going to keep emphasizing. It's not about the word. It's not semantics. You know, the science of yes is very, very active. It's about taking action, and those actions are yes. Yes actions, when you have a goal, you don't ask, how do I feel about this goal? You ask, what do I do about this goal? So, full disclosure, up front, I am one of those glasses half full kind of gals by nature. I'm not saying that you have to be that kind of individual to live in the world of yes. When I was a young girl, there was this song, High Hopes. It was sung by Frank Sinatra. So High Hopes is about this ant, okay? He needs to move a rubber tree plant, which, by the way, is gigantic compared to his size. But he is determined. And oops, there goes another rubber tree plant, because he took it on and he got it done. So the thing about High Hopes, you can create miracles inside of them. It does take work. See, like that ant, you got to roll up your sleeves and get to work. The actions you take are structured for you to produce the results, not sitting on the couch imagining the results or fantasizing about the results. Getting out in the world and going for it full tilt boogie. When you set out to produce results, there will be obstacles. And it's easy to maintain a good attitude when things are going well. You know, everything's going your way, and you're like, you're feeling good. You want to, like, skip in your walk, and everything's honky-donky, you know. But staying the course when things are not going your way takes willpower and commitment. So you want to develop things to do when you're not fully present to yes. something didn't go your way, or you're dealing with a disappointment in your life, what will get you back in the saddle again? For me, I listen to uplifting music, and I also call people who are in a good space, and I speak with them, and it helps to lift me up. I admit there are times when treating myself something good to eat will call me into action. Find out what you need to do and do it. Now, if you're anything like me and you have goals to achieve and ideas to advance and problems to solve, you were looking all the time for structures to have you move forward quickly and have fun with the process and getting things done in ways that you've never imagined was possible. The science of yes is a way to approach life. But be warned, it challenges the status quo, and it's completely contrary to just about everything that you've been taught about success, solution, personal motivation, and the power of positive thinking. I believe in the power of positive thinking. I believe in the law of attraction. And what I teach my clients is it's more than positive thinking. It's more than the law of attraction. You have to take action, and your action has to be in line with whatever it is that you're committed to. So in the science of yes, you have an opportunity to address those things that confront you and challenge you in life. Now, I see that we have a caller, so I'm going to turn on the mic. Hi, this is Pammy, the Yes Coach. You're on live. Who's this?
Hi, this is Nisa.
Hi, how are you, sweetheart?
Yeah, I'm good. Thank you. How are you?
I'm doing really well. I just got over a really bad sinus infection, so my throat's still a little bit scratchy. I sound like Kate Hepburn, but I'm doing good. I'm well.
Oh, good. Glad you feel better.
Thank you. Did you say Lisa?
Nisa.
Nisa. Thank you, Nisa. Did you want to ask me something?
There are two things I can work on. One is getting a raise, and the second is my boss can be emotionally toxic, and I don't want to talk to her when she gets like that.
I agree. There are people who are emotionally toxic, and a lot of times one of the things that comes up with emotionally toxic people is they try to engage you. It's what it's all about when they're that way. It's like they want to spread their toxicity, and they've spread it to you by engaging you. So one thing that you can practice is not engaging. You don't have to be rude and you don't have to be insubordinate to not engage. Engaging means that they act a certain way with you and you respond in kind. Do you follow what I'm saying?
Yes, so I can say to her, I would love to talk to you about this, but let's do it when we're both calm and we have more clear thinking. And then we can maybe resolve something together, but not when it's like this. Or,
well, let me ask you something. I know you also asked about the raise, but I'm going to get to that in a minute. First, I want to talk to you about the emotional toxicity that you addressed with your supervisor, your manager. So when you say, I would love to talk with you about this, but I would rather do it at a time when we're both calm, are you saying that she is raising her voice to you?
Yeah, she's like blaming. How could you do that, this and that? And we're almost not your, you know, wife. How could you do that and like that?
Yes, I understand. So when she's saying that to you, is she pointing out something that she feels you did wrong?
Yeah.
Okay, and you don't believe that you did it wrong.
Right.
Okay, so I agree with you. You can make a request. Look, I would like to talk to you about this, but I want it to be, I would insist that there be another person present. You have that right. Because the thing about it is anything that happens between you and her that doesn't have a third party neutral, you know, observer is your word against hers.
Right.
It's your word against hers. So if she is talking to you a certain way and then you later say she's talking to you this way and she denies it, who do we believe?
Right.
So if she's going to go down the tunnel where she wants to yell at you or accuse you of doing something that you feel you haven't done, I would recommend, I truly recommend that you have someone else be there. Say, I'm requesting, formally requesting, that there be another person here while we talk about this. You have a, does your company have an HR department?
Yes.
Okay, then make that request to the HR director. Not her, is it?
Right.
It's not her. She's not the HR director, is she?
No.
Okay, make the request of the HR director. Even if you have to do it 3 times a day, always request that there is somebody else present when she gets like that and tell them why. And make it official so that it goes in your file that you feel that this woman is, you know, yelling at you, dumping on you, being bad with you over things that she thinks that you're doing or says that you're doing that you're not doing. Because
Right. If
you don't do that and it comes to a head in a future date and she says, I didn't do that, and you say, she did that, it's your word against hers. So everybody has to choose who they believe. But if it's done in front of HR, they have to record it officially, and I promise you she will watch what she says when there's somebody observing her saying it. If it's just you and her, she gives herself permission to be very, very bad with you. Because it's your word against hers, and she's the manager.
Right.
This is the reason why a lot of people get in trouble at work, because they don't understand their rights. The labor laws were written to protect you, and one of the things that you have the right to do is to request a third person be present. And you can
I can tell her that I would like a third person to be present and continue to talk with her about it, but not
exactly.
Just the two of us together. That's what I can do, because I cannot be emotionally abused again like that. You know, I don't like
exactly.
It. I mean, it starts That's with a sex.
So you have
and
the law
then,
is on your side. The law is on your side. That's a hostile environment if that's what she's doing. That's a hostile environment. The law is on you. Just make that request. Look, I request a third person be here. Someone from HR be here. Or if there's nobody available, then somebody from your department. Just so that there's another person present hearing what she says. Because clearly the woman doesn't understand that there are certain things she can and certain things she cannot do with her employees at work. She thinks you're in her living room.
Right. She does.
You know, so she thinks you're in her living room. She thinks she can just tell you exactly how she feels at the top of her lungs, you know, calling you and telling you things, and that's unprofessional, and that's not how you want to be interacted with at work. And your request will be, I need a third person here so that if she does do that, you have a witness. That's what she did. She went there.
Yeah.
Look, here's my. And don't be afraid. Don't be nervous. Don't worry. Oh, I don't want to be a tattletale. I don't want to narc on her. Knock on her. It's your well-being. It's your peace of mind that we're dealing with here. How are you supposed to? go to work every day if you're concerned about the environment being so hostile to you.
Yeah, and even like yesterday, she was a little bit the same. We had done a, you know, they had done a paint job and they had a paint committee and everything was already decided how things were going to be painted. And then they made like a slight change. So I thought, oh, maybe they can make a slight change on my door too. And she's like, yeah, but we had a paint committee already. We can't just keep changing things. Like, she kept blaming, like, you know, it's like, you don't like to be treated like that. And then I'm talking to the paint guy and she comes and she's like, what are you guys talking about? And it had nothing to do with the paint, repainting it, you know. So I said, don't worry, it's nothing about changing this. I wouldn't just try to change it without your consent. It was very much like blaming.
What did she say? Well, you don't worry. When you told her, don't worry, I would never change something without your consent, what did she say?
She was shocked. She didn't expect that. She was quiet. She didn't know what to do.
Because you figured out what her concern is. She sounds like she's into control, which is fine. I'm a card-carrying control freak myself. The thing that is that she's not responsible for it. She's not responsible for it in that she doesn't understand that, you know, the way to empower your employees to take on their jobs and do it effectively is to give space to do it without trying to control and manage how they do it. She hasn't learned that lesson because she doesn't understand that you have to give people the space to be who they are and to celebrate and empower how they go about getting your job done.
Yeah.
That's all. It's just a missing in her training and development.
Definitely. Very toxic person. I'm just like shocked at her behavior. I'm not going to take this again.
You can get around that. You can totally get around that. Don't worry.
Yeah, I think I figured it out. I figured out what happened and why it hurt me and bothered me so much. Like the emotional abuse, I don't take that. I will not take that again. I don't want to be treated like that. Even if I make a mistake or if I am wrong according to her, I don't want to be treated like that. I don't know if that's appropriate.
It's not. But you don't have to be worried. You don't have to get angry. You don't have to go down that tunnel because then you're playing her game. Okay?
The next day, I took a day off. I had to calm myself and not get sick over it. And the next day I went back and I was myself again. And she was herself again as if nothing happened. To a dog.
Yeah, it's not a problem for her. It's not a problem for her. She's just doing her thing.
No, but I can't be treated like that. It's not okay. Imagine if I would do it, it would mean I am superior and she's a slave, you know, and she has to do what I tell her or else. You know, I don't like that. It doesn't feel right, even if I make a mistake, which I basically did not. So, I'm okay, you know.
Just so that you know, so that you're fully clear, she does not relate to you like a slave. That's not why she does it, okay? It's not even personal to you, okay? It's what she does. And you can best handle it by making sure that she understands that you don't want to be interacted with that way and make a request when she gets like that for there to be another person present.
If she says why, then I can say I feel like your tone is different and I'd rather have someone else present when you talk like that to me.
when she says, if she says, why do you want another person present, then tell her, because I want to make sure that you understand and that the person who's present understands that the way you're speaking to me is inappropriate.
Yes. Yes, I agree.
That's what to say to her. And the reason why you want to say it like that is you want to make sure that she understands that you will not tolerate that level of communication and you need a witness. And she's not stupid. She will know that you want a witness because you're gathering evidence, and she will quit right away. She is not interested in creating the context for a possible lawsuit.
Right.
It's not her company. She works for the company just like you do. And the company will not appreciate one of their managers breaking the labor law because it's against the law. Now, I'm not telling you to sue them. That is not my coaching. I'm telling you to make sure that you document what she's doing, when she's doing it, in front of somebody else, because if you did want to become official and take formal action, it's your word against hers if you don't have another witness.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
All right.
I
so that is, essentially the way you want to operate around people who are being bad with you. They're relating to you in a hostile way and creating a hostile environment for you at work. If you want to make sure that is documented.
Yeah, well, I'm definitely going to do something about it.
Yeah.
So the problem is that she texted me in a very blaming context. And that got me upset, and I couldn't do anything about it on Friday when I was going home already. So I don't want to read her texts anymore after 5 on Fridays. You know what I mean?
Then make that request. Make that request. As simple as that. Make that request. Say, I request that you not text me on my personal cell phone about business matters after hours. Is it a requirement of your job duty that you receive text after hours?
No, she can email me.
Okay, but the question I'm asking you, is it a requirement of your job description that you receive communications via text after hours?
No.
So you can make the request, I request that you not text me about business matters after hours. You can email me if there's something urgent, but please do not text me.
Yeah, exactly. She already emailed
a formal
and what?
Like that. Because what you don't want to do, the reason why I'm coaching you like this, is what you don't want to do is you don't want to become petty. And the two of you going in it like two, you know, sumo wrestlers and have it be like this argument.
Yeah.
You can make it very professional and say, you know, I'm having a difficult time with you. And one of the things I'm requesting you stop doing is texting me after hours. I mean, it's absurd. Whatever it is she thinks she's doing, it doesn't work. It's as simple as that. It doesn't work. And just got
ruined. I felt like it ruined my weekend that she started blaming me, and on Monday she continued blaming me. It just was too much of that energy on me, you know.
Well, I promise you this: she's not ruining your weekend. Okay, she's not. That's not what she's doing. She does what she does, and what you do with what she does, that's on you. So whatever your weekend plans are, if she, you know, texts you There is nothing in that text that ruins your weekend. Nothing. There's only what she wrote, and whether you read it or not, or when you read it, what you do with it, that's on you.
Yeah, it's
okay?
True.
You've given her too much power. Okay, it's Friday and I'm about to get off work. How's my weekend going to go? I better check with my supervisor to see if it's going to go okay. No.
Right.
She doesn't control it. That's giving her way too much power. You can't stop her from texting you unless you ask her. But when she does text you, you have everything to say about how you're going to react. And I invite you not to let it ruin your weekend. Because that's the person who's ruining your weekend is you, if you let her ruin your weekend. It's not on
right.
her. It's on you. Okay? So I
yeah,
invite
I
you to take your power back. Take back your power from your supervisor and don't let your life be impacted by how she treats you. Okay?
Right.
Just say under your breath when she does stuff that makes you crazy, because I understand she's driving you crazy. She's irritating. She's annoying. She's criticizing you and dumping on you and making, you know, accusations about what you're up to, and you don't appreciate it, and it disempowers you at work. I got it.
Right.
But don't turn her into the boogeyman, okay? She's just another human being over there.
I'm okay with it as of now, but I'm definitely not going to let this continue, this behavior. I'm definitely not, and I already, you know, have made that clear to myself that if this can't happen again, it just can't.
Yeah, I understand. So I invite you, instead of saying, I can't take this anymore, okay, say, I will not. Okay?
I will not.
Because then you're back in the driver's seat. You're taking your power back. You say, I can't. It's almost like you're some helpless victim of her silliness. And you're not a helpless victim. Just imagine yourself. Like, did you see the movie Wonder Woman?
No.
You didn't see Wonder Woman? Do you know who Wonder Woman is?
I mean, I've seen the pictures, but I haven't seen the film.
But do you know who Wonder Woman is?
No.
She's a superhero, okay? She's a goddess. She's not human. She's powerful. She's strong. She can kick just about any guy's butt that you could point to. She could probably take them on and beat them up. That's how powerful she is. She wears these bracers on her arms, on her wrists. And when she clacks them together, that's like, you know, thunderbolts from heaven, okay? And I'd like you to take that image in your mind. That image, you say you've seen pictures of Wonder Woman, so you know that she stands tall with her fists clenched together, and you might even have seen pictures of her with the gold braces on her wrist, clacking them together powerfully, X across the chest. And I'd like you to hold that image in your mind when you're talking to your supervisor or when she comes talking to you. You don't necessarily have to stand up, clap your arms together in X and be like her in reality, but just have that image in your mind, in the back of your mind. When she comes up to talk to you, who she's talking to is Wonder Woman. She's not talking to some little victim that's going to be upset because she doesn't like the way she's talking to her. She's going to stand tall and demand, I will not be talked to that way.
Yes.
Fix your mouth and talk to me like the powerful, valuable, worthwhile employee that I am. Or face the consequences. And just clap those wrist braces together in your mind. You are Wonder Woman. and you do not respond well to bad behavior. And when she walks over to you and starts, you know, you just look in your mind at that image of Wonder Woman and you tell her, I'm sorry, I will not allow you to talk to me that way. I need somebody else to be here when we talk together. You will speak to me in a respectful way, honoring who I am, or we can't talk. And you don't have to be angry, and you don't have to raise your voice. None of that is necessary, okay? All you have to do is let her know. Let Wonder Woman talk to them. Tell Wonder Woman, you handle this one, and let her handle it. Okay?
Yeah.
Thank you. That's the answer, and that's the coaching for you around the situation with your supervisor, you know, draining you and being toxic in her relationship with you. Okay?
Yeah.
And you're
I also told her that I wanted to do something together with her on a project, and she just went ahead and did it by herself, and then she expected that to be used, that what she did. And I didn't use it because she didn't do a good job on it, so I used somebody else's thing, and then she's like, oh, why didn't you use mine? You know, it doesn't matter. I didn't use yours because, first of all, it was my idea, and I didn't like the way your voice was, and I thought we were going to do it together, and you just did it by yourself behind my back. Not nice.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I got that. That's fine. I don't necessarily have any coaching for you around that because that's personal preference. She didn't do anything wrong. You made a suggestion. It was an invitation. Let's do this together. And she declined the invitation and did it herself.
Yeah.
What she did didn't work for you. It really is, it's kind of, you know, cut and dry. It's black and white. We don't need to complicate it. You just, she did didn't work for you. It's no big deal. Okay, next time. You know, you wanted to work together so that you could create something that worked. She did it on her own, and she created something that didn't work for you. It's fine. Don't worry about it.
Okay.
You left that one. She didn't do anything wrong. She made a choice, and you made a choice. And that's, you know, life as it is. Move on. Find something else to be
accepted. It sounded like she was upset that it wasn't, her thing wasn't used, you know? She was like, why didn't...
It's a possibility that she was upset. And did she ask you, I'm upset and I want you to take care of my upset?
No.
Well, then don't. She's responsible for her upset. If she's not a request for you to manage her upsets, then don't manage them. She asked for an explanation. You gave her one. If she's upset and wants more upsets, that's not your job. You know, it's an invitation. You gave her an invitation to work with you. She chose not to. And you chose not to use what she came up with. Spoke about that.
Yeah.
That's what I'm down. Don't worry about it. Find something else to worry about. Unless she approaches you and says, I'm upset, I want you to deal with my upset. That's a whole other matter. But then I'll coach you about that.
Right.
Okay? But right now, she's not a request for you to manage her upset.
Yeah.
Put it out of your mind. Okay?
Yeah. Okay.
All right. The other thing you asked me about was about approaching your job for getting a raise. Okay? Here's the thing about that.
Yes, I'm in my probation. So I wanted to do it after my probation ends in May. It ends sometime April, end of April.
Okay. So when you make a request for the raise, at what point you do it, you know, is fine. But when you make the request for the raise, one of the things they're going to take into consideration is your job performance. The other thing they're going to take into consideration is your ability to work well with others. Okay? So your relationship with your manager is going to be key. So it's important for you to be all around, you know, handling all relationships. They're not going to give you a raise just because you do excellent work. If you do excellent work and don't get along with your teammates, there's something to consider there. My coaching to you is to resolve this issue around your supervisor. You don't have to give in to her, and you don't have to endure bad behavior from her. That's why you go to the HR department and let them know that you're experiencing bad behavior. You have to tell them officially that it's a hostile work environment. They don't know it's hostile until you tell them it is. They truly do not know until you tell them it is. They don't know. Do you follow?
Yep.
But you've got to understand that when you go in, you know, you can have a laundry list of all the great things that you've done at that job. And they will, you know, acknowledge, yes, you've done some great things. However, you and your manager are at loggerheads together. What's going on with that? I mean, the raise is the reward for your stellar performance at work. So let's have your performance at work be inside of the relationship you have to your other workers. Can I ask you a question?
Okay.
What sign are you?
Aquarius.
Okay. And what sign is she? Do you know?
No.
You don't know?
Yeah, I don't.
Okay. All right. So the only reason why I ask, because yes, I am into astrology, is sometimes there's certain kinds of people that you just naturally don't get along with. It doesn't mean you can't work with them, okay? It doesn't mean that. You can work with them, all righty? You just have to be committed to something besides your feelings. Under no circumstance am I coaching you to tolerate someone being bad with you. If she's raising her voice or she's belittling you or disempowering you at work, you need to do something about that. For many people, the amount of time you spend at work is longer than the time you spend at home. It's not okay for people to talk to you a certain way or make you feel bad or mistreat you or abuse you in any way. I mean, you were right. It's not okay. It's not okay. I totally agree with you. It's not okay. So what I want to make sure that you are asking for a raise, you're asking for a raise because who you are is someone who is a valuable, worthwhile contribution to that company. And you deserve, you know, an acknowledgement, which is inside of how you're compensated. And that's all you're doing.
Yeah.
And you know, a lot of companies try to relate to raises like, oh, well, we are not making enough revenue to justify giving you a raise. You've got to look and see what's real in your relationship with your place of business, whether or not they recognize your contribution and they assign value.
They do. They do.
Yeah. Well, that's good. So at the right time and the right moment, do not hesitate to go in there and make a request for a raise.
I will. Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome. You're absolutely welcome. Is there anything else?
I just broke up with my boyfriend and I don't want him back in my life. You know, it's always been on and off, and this point I don't want him in my life, and I want to prepare myself for a new healthy relationship, basically.
I hear you. I hear you. So the way that I relate to it is that when one door closes, another door opens. Have you ever heard that before?
Yeah.
When one door closes, another door opens. Sometimes when you complete one thing, it leaves you open to something else that's even better.
Yes, I understand that, yes.
And if you do that in a way that that works, I mean, there's a lot of emotions tied up when you're in a relationship with another human being, a romantic relationship, and that relationship ends. You know, when that relationship ends, there's more involved there. There's emotional, you know, ties. You want to give yourself room to grieve.
Yeah. I don't know if I'm grieving though. I'm just like, I just hope he doesn't come back, and I should just make sure I block his email, and I just really want to move on.
Then do so. Why do you say you want to block his email? Is he trying to come back?
Yeah, after like 1 month or 2 months, then he starts to write an email or something or check on me and see how I'm doing. And that always pulls me back in the relationship. Pulls me back.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't hear from him. I'm okay.
So, you know, I don't know if you heard me earlier in the broadcast when I was saying don't speak to the universe about what you don't want, okay?
Okay.
So what I invite you to do is to create the context of your future without speaking about what you don't want in your future. Create what you want. And I assert that you want a healthy, extraordinary romantic relationship with a man who empowers you and who loves you and leaves you, you know, with that love. If you take that on, you don't have to worry about what he's going to do. Don't focus on what you don't want. Don't focus on him like a bad thing, like, oh, my God, he's going to be terrible, and he's going to do this, and he's going to do that. Just focus on what you want, and you'll get it. And that much I can promise you. Now, we only have 30 seconds left in the show, so I'm going to complete our conversation, and I'm going to say to the people
Thank
who are
you.
Listening, you're welcome. You're quite welcome. Thank you for calling in. Please don't forget to follow the show. The Blog Talk Radio Studio loves to hear that the shows are appreciated. It lets them know and it lets us know that you want more. So follow the Science of Yes with Pam Heath, the Yes Coach. And you can look at my website at www.yescoachforyou.com. That's Yes Coach, the number 4, and the letter .com. Thank you so, so much, and we will talk to you again next week. Goodbye.